Welcome to Tools to Ready the Journey, a conversation to help prepare and support young men for fatherhood.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Tools to Ready the Journey, a father's guide to a faith-filled family. I am Bill Snyder, and joined always by Ray Haywood, who is the author of this book and co-host here with me on this podcast. And we hope you've enjoyed the series so far. It's unbelievable to be saying that we're going to be discussing chapter 12 of 13 today on the program. And of course, we have so much more for you than just the book. So I want you to remember to head over to trjfathersguide.com, and that's where you're going to find all the discussion guides, the Facebook groups, the Instagram, and everything that you need to remain faithful. I think I forgot Twitter in there as well. So don't forget to head over to trjfathersguide.com to check it out and connect with us and interact with us, because as we're wrapping up the discussion here in the next three or four episodes of this book, we want you to be able to continue that journey and continue reaching into your fellow man's hearts and your heart to grow closer with the Holy Spirit. So as we know, the podcasts and books, they're wonderful resources that we can lean on, but we need to go a step further. And going a step further means connecting with our fellow man and joining men's groups and all of those things. And all the resources there are there for you on the website to do that. So I really encourage you as you've been listening to this podcast to connect with us there if you haven't. So Ray, welcome. And it's such an awesome discussion today all about chapter 12. I'm just so excited to be talking about a faithful mindset.
Yes, thank you for this time and fellowship. We get to shoulder up and do this, Bill.
Yes, we do.
So chapter 12, A Faithful Mindset. I want to place into mindful reach all of the tools of awarenesses that have been shared to this point for our intentional listeners and readers. These tools of awareness have been shared with intent in preparation for discerning all that we will be scratching at in the two concluding and revealing chapters of this chapter and the next chapter 12 and 13. With now owning the tools stored in the toolbox we create in our hearts and in our wills, we have built up the footing needed to intentionally step closer in understanding what a faithful mindset looks like through self-examination of a virtuously exercised free will. A place of peaceful resolve within a faithful mindset is now achievable in our acceptance of full ownership of the tools handed on and forged in truth told to us over time as we willfully choose to move forward together through the arch of life in all that has been shared to this point. This is what I would like to believe we have accomplished to this point, Bill. What is your takeaway on where we are in this blessing with the knowledge you and I have with what's shared in chapter 12? You know, before we even get into it, you have the knowledge. So do you feel as though we're better equipped with journeying through 1 through 11 to even entertain what's shared in chapter 12? I mean, this is what it's about. We're here now. We've arrived.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you were just to open the book, right, if you were to open the book and read chapters 12, you would get a lot out of it, right, because this is very insightful. But if you don't read chapters 1 through 11 prior to that, it's not going to have the same weight. It's just not. It's not going to, because you've had so many, as you like to put it, competencies discussed and shared with the reader, that I truly believe that I'm a better man for reading this book. And I want to let listeners know, you know, Ray authored this book, but when we agreed to do this, there was one thing that I told him, and I said, I am going to read this chapter by chapter. I'm not going to go ahead, even though it's super tempting to do that, and it only takes me maybe, you know, 20 minutes or so to really pore over a chapter and read it, because these chapters are short and meaningful, and got a lot of stuff in them, so I encourage you to read it slowly. But you know, the amazing thing about it is, you know, I have not skipped ahead at all. I've made good on that promise not to skip ahead. And so I don't have any advanced knowledge about where Ray is going and or what he's doing. And I feel that if I would have skipped ahead to chapter 12 and read it and then gone back and read the other ones or something like that, I would not have had the intentional steps along the journey of learning this slowly and intentionally, you know. So I would not have had that blessing. And so truly, having this knowledge that has been, you know, slowly and intentionally poured into me through reading this has been a huge blessing. And now, as we get into, as Ray keeps saying, the meat of this book is really in the last couple chapters, as he says. So as we continue to journey deeper into the book and these last and final chapters, and epilogue and everything, I think that what he has waiting for us is built up along the way here. It's built up along the way. And how beautiful that is, because if we just skip ahead and read it, yeah, it would have some meaning, but don't do that. If you're listening to chapter 12 and you haven't read the book, you haven't purchased a book, and you haven't read any of the other chapters yet, I really encourage you to do that, Ray, because and everybody listening to this, because Ray has done such a great job putting it together. So absolutely, Ray, I totally think that we are now equipped to discern it. I mean, look at all the tools we've gone through. Look at all the tools we've gone through. So absolutely, I think we're better equipped. I am better equipped to have that conversation, having read those chapters.
That means a lot that you should share that. So I always go back to that fallback of the measure in which we measure. This blessing was measured out in proper doses so that we could build upon. Each chapter builds upon, absolutely. So an intentional, faithful mindset awaits. Let's begin. Chapter 12, A Faithful Mindset. What is shared in chapter 12 is that a faithful mindset is achieved in our day-to-day lives through daily reflection within a demeanor of humility and compassion. As fathers, it is accomplished slowly over time and trial as we continually approach and reflect well, selflessly moving forward throughout the arch of life. God's Word revealed shares that a faithful mindset can only be found in ownership of an active faith journey. I'd like to say that again. Important for us to understand and really step close in is that God's Word reveals to us that to share in a faithful mindset, it can only be achieved through ownership of an active faith journey. The first step in this journey is through the acceptance that our Heavenly Father loves us past our worldly faults and forgives us our sins unconditionally. We step closer to this realization as we willfully examine ourselves and confess our sins with true contrition and remorse in the sacrament of reconciliation, where confession and penance wash us clean and restore us in grace. We've mentioned that we step closer to grace through contrition. So what is contrition? Let's explore what perfect and imperfect contrition looks like. Perfect contrition is explained as sorrow for the detestation of sin with a true purpose of amendment arising from a love of God for his own perfection. So if we think about that, it's us stepping to our Father, being sorrowful that we disappointed him, you know? And then imperfect contrition is explained as coming from some inferior motive as fear of divine punishment. So when you think of stepping towards contrition, towards reconciliation, okay, I'm going to get on a plane. Geez, I better go to confession, not reconciliation, where confession and penance come together. I need to go to confession before I get on that plane. That's fear. There's a tremendous difference between perfect and imperfect contrition. So all this can be discerned further through awareness that is shared in John 4, 11 through 18. And that's something that I hope that our listeners can reach into and understand what's all shared in that. But with this awareness in mind, we can better consider how we as fathers must also unconditionally forgive our own children when they fall short in their humanity and come to us for forgiveness. We fathers must recognize, promote, and nurture the unconditional love and forgiveness needed to promote having this reflection of love present in our homes and to the families that we are nurturing. A beautiful view for us all, the family members, to have in this awareness. This is all first revealed to us in our understanding of the power of our free will, our willpower, shown to us through God's grace, revealed through the sacrament of reconciliation, where we gain the strength needed to choose to do well in our daily lives. What do you think, Bill?
You know, I really like this discussion that that we're having, because I think it's very, very important to discuss the imperfect contrition and perfect contrition. I really think that it's a very important conversation that we need to have about where our motives lie, and something that it takes a long time to achieve. I know that I still are probably not making perfect contrition in my confessions, because perfect contrition comes out of the fact that I love God so much that I do not want to offend him and I want to go to heaven. The, as you mentioned, the fear of going to hell, while that will suffice for the contrition to actually take place, it's not coming from the same place. So our love of God has to grow. Our love of God has to grow in order for us to achieve perfect contrition. So it's not coming out of a place of fear. You know, oh my God, I don't want to go to hell, so I better not. You know, that's where I think so many Christians and Catholics get messed up. You know, when they look at the church as a bunch of rules not to do, it's all imperfect contrition. Because they're going, oh, well, I don't want to go to hell, so I better not do that. I don't want to go to hell, so I better not do that. Like, that is just not perfect. The perfect way to look at it is, you know what? I do want to go to heaven. So I'd rather love God this way, which means living the commandments. It's not necessarily this backwards way of understanding it. No, it's the fact that God loves us and we love God so much that we would never want to do anything to lose that love we have for him. And that's where perfect contrition comes in. And I think very few people are able to get there. I know I'm not there. I know I still fear, when I sin. Oh my gosh. You know, I still fear. I have a lot of fear in there. And so I go to confession and I make a act of contrition, but it's not a perfect act of contrition all the time. And so I really encourage listeners to think about it from the positive aspect, not the negative aspect. And that might help you grow in your life and your spirituality. so that you can achieve perfect contrition. And there's times when we achieve perfect contrition, and there's times when we not, and we fall back in and out. But don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged, because God is the one who is constant and always loves us. And every time we make an effort to go to the sacrament of reconciliation, every time we have an effort to do that, and we make our effort to do that, He is happy. So whether you're making an imperfect act of contrition or a perfect act of contrition, God is still happy with you that you are being contrite and you are offering your heart back to Him, and saying, God, I really messed up. I want to be with you. I want to help you is the perfect act of contrition. The imperfect one is when you say, God, I really screwed up. I don't want to go to hell. And so I think that maybe simplifies it a little bit for you and maybe gives you a little bit of a way of looking at it that, you know, neither one is bad. Both are good. But we should always strive for the perfect contrition. Does that make some sense, Ray?
I think that in our young lives, we may begin our faith journey as looking at reconciliation in an imperfect contrition because we don't know any better. We don't understand divine love. We haven't, we're at the measurement which we measure, if you follow what I'm saying.
Yes.
So it's like our parents, we have respect for them. There's a certain amount of reverence or little bit of fear, you know, that we need to be kept close to the path. But then as we become more fulfilled in our faith journey, and as we step closer to the path, and we find ourselves no longer straying from the path, not because of fear, but because of love, then we get to share in the perfect contrition. And what you and I are discussing right now is something that's worthy of working towards. You know,
yes.
A lot of the things that we share as tools, we have to understand and accept our place where we are and understand that everything that's worthwhile takes effort. So when we're a young soul and we're stepping close to our faith, a lot of what you and I are sharing may not exactly be achievable at that moment, but when our Heavenly Father knows our heart, and in our hearts, we are very transparent. So when we come into the competencies that are shared, these awarenesses are shared, then when we have these awarenesses, it helps us on our journey. It helps us to stay close to the path.
Yes.
And then when we come into the fullness of understanding, that we start to begin to share in that love of true contrition, of beautiful contrition, then the more and more beauty comes out within divine love and all that's shared within it. So, but what I want to share right now for the young man is I want to just stay close to bringing this one point. When we become confident in our understanding of the power of reconciliation as an important channel of grace, where we are made clean from sin and are at that moment restored in perfect union with our Heavenly Father, it is in these moments of grace that we come to understand that we can separate ourselves from sin, just not from our sinful nature. It is in this realization that we share in the graces that support and strengthen the fullness of a faithful mindset. That's a beautiful thing for a young man to understand, that he can separate himself from sin, just not from his sinful nature. And then when he stays close to the path and he moves forward within the measure in which we measure, and all of the beauty of what I get to share in at this moment is realized, even if it's just in me scratching at something that he could work towards, well, then you and I did what we're supposed to today.
Absolutely.
So is there anything that you think that you could share to strengthen the message of this beautiful, I mean, this 12 and 13, just beautiful chapters?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I have a really funny story that I want to tell. And maybe it'll just shed some light on the perfect and imperfect contrition. I actually have a blog post about this. If you go to my website, you can go directly to the blog, patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com. The title of this post is actually from April of 2017, and it's entitled Pete Sampras Mad at His Neighbors. I'm going to tell the story a little differently than I wrote it on the blog, because I think it's easier to tell over written word, but I'm going to tell it a little differently here on the podcast. So make sure you go over and read it on my blog later. So I was a kid, and we had this apple tree that was in our yard, and it was on the other side of the fence. Basically, it was legally on our neighbor's property, but the branches hung over our garden in the back of our yard growing up in Malvern. And one day I'm coming back off the school bus, and there are a bunch of workers who are out front of my neighbor's house, and we could hear the chainsaws that are cutting down this apple tree. And my mother was very, very upset. We went in the house, and she said to both of us, and we're like maybe 7 and 10 years old at this time, and she said to us, "Can you believe they're cutting down that tree? I went over and I talked to Janet about it, and I told her that I really like that tree. And why didn't she come over and talk to me about cutting it down just all of a sudden? She never even, asked or anything." And, as 7 and 10 year olds, my brother took one look at each other, and we said, "We're going to avenge our mom." So after our afternoon snack, we got changed after school, and we went and got our tennis rackets. Now, in the other side of our yard, there was a black walnut tree, okay? And the black walnut tree was shedding at that time, so it was dropping the black walnuts all over our lawn. It just so happened that my neighbor had a pool, and part of the reason why I believe that she was cutting down the tree was because the apples were actually falling into the pool. So what we did was we decided, which were totally on our side of the property, what we did was we took all of the black walnuts and a tennis racket and hit them over the fence and waited to hear the splash in the pool. I think we hit probably 400 black walnuts in her pool after the workers left. And let me tell you, it was the most fun thing that kids could possibly do, right? We avenged our mom. We doused her pool with all of these black walnuts. But, what was amazing to both of us was that we never, ever, ever got punished for this event. Never. My mom never said anything about it. Our neighbor never said anything about it. They just knew that maybe they should have asked my mom or whatever because the branches were on our side of the thing. And so to this day, my brother and I, we laugh about it a lot and we talk about it a lot, but it's definitely, and we actually ended up codenaming the adventure that we had, Pete Sampras Mad at His Neighbors, because we thought we were great tennis players that day. But anyway, the idea is that it was, the retaliatory justice of the situation probably wasn't a good idea, right? As you're looking back on it as adults, you can see that was totally wrong. My brother actually, in recounting the story, often says the amount of black walnuts we hit into that pool was wildly uncalled for, We didn't have at that time any perfect contrition, right, about it. I still think we don't have perfect contrition about the story. We laugh about it. We think it's hilarious. My mom thinks it's hilarious. And now, however many years later, 20 years later, 30 years later, right, that we were doing this. So but we can see with the eyes of faith that that's imperfect contrition. We're not necessarily 100% sorry about it, and we're, you know, trying to, you know, I don't know how best to say it, but we're it's a funny story. We laugh about it, but I don't know if we're necessarily sorry about it. You know, having that perfect contrition means that we have to be truly sorry. Yeah, we know we offended our neighbor. We know that we were wrong in that thing, and we know that that would preclude me from going to heaven and being with God. And so, arriving at that perfect contrition is difficult. You know, it's difficult when we are especially little kids. I just think that story maybe highlights a little bit of the difference between perfect contrition and imperfect contrition. So we need to remember that when we're truly sorry about something, when we have contrition about something, we have to do it because, not because I'm afraid my neighbor is going to come over and, you know, yell at me or whatever. It's because I know that that's wrong. And in addition, I don't want to offend God above, you know, by doing this act. So that is, you know, perfect contrition is less consequence focused, right? I'm going to go to hell. I'm going to get yelled at by my neighbor. I'm going to get yelled at by my mom, you know, all of those things. So I just think that the story highlights that, Ray. I hope you had a few good chuckles in there as I told it, but I encourage everybody to go over and read the full blog post that I wrote on my blog.
You know, when you share something like that, Bill, you know, when we're close to something, we don't see it from all perspectives. You know, think of the reactions of the adults in that situation on both sides of the fence, your neighbor and your mom right. and your dad, and how both you and your brother never heard anything about it. So I bet you if you were to ask, if I don't know if your parents still live in the same house, if the neighbor is still there,
But
I wonder if you were to ask the woman who lived in the house with the apple tree that it was falling into her pool and she was, you know, inconvenienced and she cut down this tree and she knew how much her neighbor loved. I wonder how her take would be. I understand yours and your brother's take and the way you shared it, but, you know, it speaks volumes. The most important part of any conversation is what's not being said. I wonder, you should really ask your mother what she thought about that, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Really speaks volumes. The things that the silence speaks so much louder. But anyhow, I'd like to end off our discussion with a challenge for our listeners to gain full awareness in all that is shared toward owning a faithful mindset, to take time out to read this chapter and willfully contemplate all of the benefits that you and your family will gain in fully owning your own free will through the tools of self-examination. It is through understanding the power of our free will through self-examination that we gain the strength needed to choose to act morally intentional. Let's go back to that morally intentional, huh? Knowing, knowledge and recognizing that a faithful mindset is one of the most important characteristics we can reflect into the lives of the families we nurture is divine love at its best. It is a great chapter to contemplate, wouldn't you say, Bill?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It really is.
So the chapter 12 tool is the wood clamp. I chose the wood clamp for chapter 12 of Faithful Mindset for the manner in which it is used to hold objects firmly together and in place in a measured out amount of pressure. When we relate using a wood clamp to a faithful mindset, we can find value in the use of this tool in holding us firmly in place while we continually seek out objective truth in the measure in which we measure. There is much value that can be found in clarifying what we truly believe in, what makes us strong in our convictions. Finding our worth and purpose in what truly binds us together to our path. Isn't that a beautiful thing, Bill?
It really is. You know, I like the wood clamp because it pushes things together, right? It pushes, you know, things together. And when you are able to align the values with objective truth, when you're able to align your values with objective truth, when you're able to align what you believe in with the bar that God sets for us, then what happens is we come closer to Him. You know, we grow closer to Him. So what a beautiful thing to be able to reflect on. And, you know, I'll just say, take some time as guys and go through and just even meditate on these pictures. It's beautiful artwork. The artwork of this book and everything is just unbelievable. And so I really encourage each and every one of you that are listening to open the pages of the book, and at the chapters, as Ray and I discussed them, just take some time and gaze at the image. You know, it's on every page of the book. Just gaze at the image and look at it and see and reflect on it and how it applies to the chapter and it applies to your life. Because if you take the time to do that, it will be very important for you just to reflect and think about those things. It'll give you more a fuller picture of the chapter and your life.
So chapter 13 is the last chapter. Not that we won't be discussing the epilogue and, most important, the call to action of what is truth, but chapter 13 is the last chapter, chapter 13 is God's grace in a faith-filled family, the culmination to the chapters of this book, and very much a foundational part of the truth shared in its subtitle of A Father's Guide to a Faith-Filled Family, meaning Jesus is our guide. This chapter will bring the awareness of the covenants clearly into view as we intentionally and continually move forward in the awareness of the measure in which we measure. Another great chapter for us to explore and gain perspective in, and I'm looking very forward to it, and I hope you are as well, Bill.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I am looking forward to chapter 13, and I'm excited for the reader as well, because I think that as the book closes down, as it comes to its culmination, maybe it comes to the pinnacle of it, I'm excited for them to be able to begin living it. And as you mentioned there, Jesus is our guide. And you think about, I think about all the ways that St. Joseph in the early life and in the early time of his life led Jesus, and then Jesus takes over and leads Joseph home. So I just think about that. I'm excited to see, Jesus being our guide and how God's grace works in all situations. So I just am excited to bring the last chapter to our listeners, and then, of course, continue our conversation with the epilogue and with the call to action, because I know that that is going to be very powerful as well. So I thank you, Ray, for your time, and it's just a blessing to be with you, as always. And so thank you so much for being intentional and sharing in this with me. It's just a beautiful thing.
Can you feel my shoulder?
Yeah, I can. It's great.
Thank you, Bill, for this time and fellowship.
Yes, well, this has been an episode of Tools to Ready the Journey, A Father's Guide to a Faith-Filled Family. For Ray Haywood, I'm Bill Snyder. Until next time, be intentional.
You've been listening to Tools to Ready the Journey, presented by Breadbox Media. For more information about this ministry to young men, visit trjfathersguide.com or search for TRJ Father's Guide on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Tools to Ready the Journey is a production of Patchwork Heart Ministry. To learn more about how Patchwork Heart Ministry can support your ministry, visit patchworkheart.org.